Hey, thanks for joining us today. I'm excited you're here. I was just working on my post. I haven't posted on the church page yet, and so I'm running a little late. So, take a picture. All right, give me your best. All right, balcony over here. Give me the best wave and Thanksgiving up there. Say hi. All right, wait a second. Let's work on this a little bit. Say Thanksgiving. All right, wait a second. I messed up. All right, say Thanksgiving. All right, this side, let's see if you can do a little better. You're a little challenged. So this is a wild side. I've got their attention now. All right, say Thanksgiving. Oh, that was really good. All right, right here, this side right here. Don't you feel like you're at Thanksgiving dinner and you got the old grandpa out who's taking pictures of the whole clan? All right. And hey, wait a second. Wait, no, I can't use that yet. All right, wait. All right, right here. Everybody, say cheese. That was all right. All right. Right here, this section right here. I got it. No. All right. You're anticipating, and you can't do that with. All right. Say turkey.
Turkey!
All right. This group. All right. I'm counting on you. Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie.
Wait a second. You're just not. I mean. You all come to worship. These guys, I don't know about them. Too late on Saturday night or just too early this morning? Let's try again. Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie.
All right. And last but not least, over here, cranberry salad on three. One, two, three.
Cranberry salad.
Wait a second. I'm having a table. All right. Again. You're lucky because it was pretty weak. All right. Cranberry salad.
Cranberry salad.
Man. I just can't wait to post this. I can't do it now. I'm just taking too much time. But I'm glad you're here. Happy Thanksgiving. You all look great. And I just wanted to capture you in this moment. We've been in a love, give series. This is the second week. And last week we talked about being a faithful steward and how we were to build on the small things and have same regard for small things as we do for the big things in life and how every moment is sacred. And, this morning, it could be a sacred moment for you. This could be a life changer this morning. And then again, the last part is that, share the hidden things of God, share them liberally with those around you. Well, this morning we're going to talk about an overflowing giving, an overflowing love. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. We're going to look at that. And I want to talk about oxymorons today. Now, that's not a moron who's on oxygen. Oxymoron is a figure of speech, and is a combination of words that have opposite or very different meanings, like computer security or political science. Like, this last election, there were political scientists doing those polls. Believe it or not, political science. Tight slacks. Now, have you ever gotten a definite maybe? You know what that means? A definite maybe means no. Or somebody said, that's pretty ugly. What's that mean? Or a 12-ounce pound cake. Now, this is one I love. Diet ice cream. That's like diet pumpkin pie. Who wants to eat that? All right. Working vacation. Exact estimate. And the most favorite of all is, for you PC users, Microsoft Works. Now, here's an oxymoron poem that I found that I really liked. Listen to this. This kind of is nice. And it's by Mary Oliver Rotman. It's Prairie Lighthouse, Desert Ship, Arid Ocean, Soothing Whip. ugly sunset, healing pain, somber puppy, fiery rain, gentle windstorm, happy wall, righteous sinner, see-through veil. I read that wrong. Happy whale, righteous sinner, see-through veil, eternal love, random fate, marriage vows, fleeting hate. Oxymorons are different than paradoxes. I had somebody that came out of first service today. You know what a paradox is? It's two medical doctors. That's not what, you can say, that was awful. All right. Anyway, that's what they told me. A paradox, although a figure of speech that may appear to oppose common sense, is nevertheless true. The Christian life is full of paradoxes. Jesus spoke and he used paradox. Think about this. To find, you must lose. To be rich, you must become poor. To live, you must die. To be first, you must be last. To be honored, you must be humble. Paradoxes were also found in Paul's writing. If you're at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, or 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, Paul writes, "For in a severe test of affliction, there are abundance of joy, and there's extreme poverty have overflowed in the wealth of generosity on their part." So think about this. This is a paradox. Here is the Macedonian church who's impoverished, who are poor, that are struggling to eat. I want you to see that picture. That are going to send money and gifts to the church of Jerusalem. This pagan church, this Gentile church, are going to support the Jews in Jerusalem through a famine for a period of 10 to 12 years, history says. And they were afflicted. They were poor, yet they were joyful and spiritually wealthy. And because out of their poverty they gave generously, we see that it's not the size of the gift that matters. It's the heart and the spirit, the willing spirit, that matters most to the Lord. This morning, I want to look at three priorities for overflowing giving. And the first one is to have an open heart and open hands. Openness is the willingness, and nothing pleases God more than a heart that is willing to yield to Him and hands that are willing to give to Him. Open hands goes both ways. I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but you have to be open to receive from God. And first we've got to possess before we can give. First we've got to receive and possess before we give. And to be a conduit of blessing to others means that we've received blessings first. And so this Macedonian church that we read about, the Corinthian church that we read about, who's all over the place, super wild, crazy pagans, that were all mixed up, but yet were conduits for the Lord Jesus Christ because they realized the blessing that we received. Now, when we celebrate Thanksgiving, what are we recognizing? The blessings that we've received, the bounty that we have. And Thanksgiving is truly a North American holiday. And who celebrated it first? Those pilgrims that had suffered through a devastating winter, who had become friends with Native Americans and learned how to plant and learned how to harvest here in North America. And out of their grief and out of their suffering, they celebrated Thanksgiving, as we were taught in elementary school. And so don't forget your blessing, but realize that we're called to be open-hearted and open-handed. There was a family of missionaries in Brazil, not Indiana, South America. And they lived in a rented house, and it was a community house. Even though the missionaries lived there, it was kind of a missionary parsonage per se. And they rented that house, and they shared, and they fellowshiped, and they worked. And there was this wealthy Brazilian, South American widow who said to them, "I want to give you this house that you're renting." And the missionary couple didn't say, "Oh no, you don't have to do that. We'll pay that for that themselves." They graciously received it and possessed it. And so they didn't try to pay her back, but because of her generous gift that she had given, she became a part of their family through fellowship, through their gratitude of receiving. Their fellowship became enriched because they had something in common. And so she became a part of their family, not because they had to, not because they were forced to, because of what they received, they were grateful for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." My question is, do you have an open heart, and do you have open hands that God can use? Second this morning, respond to need and not to pressure. Respond to the need. Now, this may be an emotional response, and typically, I just want you to tell you my role as senior pastor and was youth pastor, that I'm sharing some of this with CJ on Fridays when it's my day off, what goes on. But when we have someone who comes in with need, most of our office staff are very sensitive and sympathetic. And they respond, and they want to help everyone, which is a great, great example and role model. But guess who's the guy that says no? Or let me see your driver's license, and let me check out the information. Who's that guy? That's been me for 28 years. No senior pastor likes to do that. And so a few weeks ago, someone came in, and they were all very sympathetic. And so they call me on my day off, and I said, "Well, isn't Mark there or CJ there?" And they said, "Yeah, but we thought we'd give it to you." That means it's iffy. So, and they expect, yeah. So I said, "Well, give it to whoever's there," and it was CJ. And so he took all the information and tried to turn it back to me, and I said, "Oh no. It's on you, buddy. It's your day." And we share in that opportunity to share with others, but we've got to see whether there is real need or not, because we live in a generation of entitlement, don't we? Are you familiar? Well, we're not here just to entitle people, but we're here to find and minister to real need out of love and out of grace. And so I'm passing that opportunity around, but we've got to be very careful how we respond to need and do it as an investment for the kingdom of God out of the grace that we've received. Now, let me tell you a story. There are three young men in a family, three brothers. And they were raised right by a hardworking, loving, tough mom. And they got old enough, and they were millionaires. Millionaires. And they said, "We are going to share what we've received with our beloved mom." Now, I don't know about this mom, but she gave them bad names. The first one was Milton. And so, you know what I'm going to do for mom? I'm going to give her a huge mansion. And she's going to live there, and she's going to love it, because she's always lived in these little tiny houses and little tiny rooms. And the other brother said, "I can top that. I'm going to get mom a really nice luxury Mercedes-Benz, but I'm going to provide for her a driver for the rest of her life, that anywhere she wants to go, she can be driven there." And the third son, youngest son, and his name was Gilbert, all right, Gilbert. Milton, Gilbert, and the last son's name was Horace. Horace said, "I can top that. I'm going to get mom a parrot that can, that has the Old and the New Testament memorized. And there are these 12 elders that have spent all kinds of time with this bird for years and years and helped this bird memorize the Old and New Testament. And so mom can't see very well, and she can just hear this parrot recite the Word of God. She's going to love it. So the mom wrote them thank you notes to her boys. She wrote, "Dear Milton, thanks for the house, but it's really too big. I only live in one room, and plus I've got to clean it all now." She didn't sound very thankful, did she? Kids, you ever feel that way when you thank your mom? And then Gilbert, she wrote, "Dear Gilbert, I really appreciate the Mercedes-Benz and the driver, but I never go anywhere. I don't travel anymore very much. And plus, the driver's kind of snooty and grumpy. And so, thank you very much. Love, Mom." Now to the last one. What was his name? Horace? All right. To Horace, she said, "Horace, finally I have a sensible, wealthy son." She said, "Thanks for the chicken. It tasted really good." So you need to give to the need. So you have an open heart, open hands. You respond to the need, not to the pressure. And third, be a river, not a reservoir. Be a river, not a reservoir. Believers are meant to be channels and not containers. And God's love and grace should flow through us. And it's not to be held inside of us, but to be given. As stewards, our compelling desire must be to constantly give and give and give as a channel of God's blessing to be a river. There's a story about a lady named Tammy who lived under a bridge. I don't know if you've ever known anybody, homeless people, that lived under a bridge. In fact, I had a couple of guys that were construction workers one time that I'd taken them over to the Lighthouse Mission, and they were very thankful, and they were Southern boys and great guys. And a few weeks later, I said, "Chris, you got to get us out of here. Will you please, you know, help us find a place down by the river?" And so they moved down by the river under the bridge, the Wabash River Bridge on 40. And so a few weeks after that, they kept looking and looking for jobs, and they couldn't find any jobs. And they called us and said, "Chris, can we have a bus ticket to go back to wherever it was, Oklahoma?" And I said, "Absolutely." So we got them bus tickets to get them back home, because it was during a time where there just wasn't a lot of construction work out there. But that's what they needed, and that's how we helped them as they were trying to help themselves. Just a couple guys that were doing their best. There was a woman, like I was telling you about, that had a need, and a church stepped in. She was living under a bridge by a river, and they gave her food vouchers. And as they got more and more involved, they had to stop her. You know what she was doing? If she got as much as she needed, what did she do? She gave it away. And they got mad at her. She said, "We're giving this to you. We're not giving it to everybody else." And she said, "Why can't I share what I've received, because I have all I need?" Because she saw need underneath that bridge by the river. That's how she shared. Because she was going to be a river and not a reservoir. Let's look at some overflowing words that the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. And you'll turn in your Bibles or in your tablets if you look with me. But think about the overflowing words here in verse 8 through 15. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound in you." That's that word for abound in the Greek that we're reading there is the same word for overflows. "So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, 'He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will," listen to this, "supply and," what else? "Multiply your seed for sowing and increase Let me say that again. And increase, and I lost my place there, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Did you hear the overflow words in that passage that Paul talks to this church that is impoverished and yet overflowing? Do you have an open heart and open hands? Do you respond to need and not to pressure? Are you a river and not a reservoir? In Christianity Today, a few years ago, there was a Muslim man who described his commitment to follow Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah. Surprisingly, a rather ordinary miracle caused this man to open his heart to Jesus, to Isa al-Masih. And basically, what occurred was that he and his wife were getting ready for their evening meal. And all they had was a little bowl of macaroni and cheese. Well, I say macaroni and cheese. It was whatever they eat in the Middle East that looks like macaroni, as far as I know. And so there was a knock on the door, and it was their neighbor, a neighbor lady. And custom was that by their tradition, if it was supper time, you would invite that person in. But the man felt Muhammad, is his name, which is about half of the Middle East. I know that sounds very racist, but that's the about every Muslim I meet, about half of them are Muhammad. So his name was Muhammad. And the custom was to invite her in, but he was thinking to himself, we just don't have enough food. There's barely enough, and there's not enough for us. It's going to be a meager meal at best. But instead, you know what he did? He invited her in, and they sat down. And there was an ordinary miracle that occurred. They gave portions to each other, and yet the bowl was still full. And so they ate together, and he wondered, how could that be? He went to bed that night, and there was a little voice in his head who said, do you know who kept that bowl of macaroni full? And he said, no, who? And he said, Isa al-Masih. You see, that name is in the Quran, Jesus the Messiah. And he said, not only can I overflow your life with macaroni, I can overflow your life completely, spiritually. And he said, in that moment, he came to Jesus Christ. You know, the greatest blessing is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're not joined our church or a member of the church, you need to do that today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, there's no way your life will ever overflow in the ways that matter. This morning, we just want to ask you to come to Jesus and know him as Savior and Lord of your life. If you would, please stand. I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come. Father, we just thank you for the goodness that you do in our lives, the overflow that we receive, that we take for granted all the time. And Father, through this Thanksgiving season, through this week, help us to realize that we have received of you, but help us to be the conduit that flows those blessings out to others, to realize that we have been blessed, it's been multiplied, and it is overflowing in our lives. Father, for those that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives, we pray that they would come to confess Him, to know Isa al-Masih. And Father, we just pray for those that need to join the church, to be a part of your body, that they would do so today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come this morning?